You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Each new species discovered needs a name. That was the topic of conversation today here in the 95BFM newsroom. However, how did researchers or scientists come up with the names for species? That's exactly what a recent study from the University of Otago was looking to find out. Researchers looked at the naming trends for almost 3,000 parasitic worms over the last two decades and found some interesting trends surrounding the naming process of newfound species. I spoke to one of the authors of the study, Professor Robert Poulin from the Department of Zoology at the University of Otago, on the subject. I started off by asking him about the study's findings.
Well, I've been interested in the way people name new species for many years now. And we just happen to have a large database of all species of parasitic worms described in the last 20 years or so. And it just seemed like an ideal opportunity to use this data to test for various trends or biases in how people come up with, names for these new species, where their inspiration comes from. So we just looked at the data and came up with the patterns we described in the paper.
And I guess some of the way which names, or essentially how some names are inspired, or where they're inspired from, really come from a mix of sources, correct?
That's right. We found that you can split them into five categories. The first three provide some information about the species itself. So the names are derived from where they are found, geographically speaking, what they look like, or what animal they infect. So that's the first three categories of names, and this accounts for a little over half of the names given to new species. But the rest of the names come from a range of different sources. A large number are named after famous scientists, and the rest are named after such a large range of different things that it's really a mixed bag, that last category. It ranges from people naming a new species after their pet dog to naming it after some dangerous situation they encountered when they were collecting the species in the field. So it's a pretty broad category, that last one.
Yeah, I am reading here that even some of these sources range from physical characteristics of the species, cultural importance, geographic location, like you said, famous scientists, or even Pokemon.
Yeah, there's a small number of species named after cartoon characters. There's one name for Mr. Krabs' character in the SpongeBob SquarePants cartoon series. Several from the literature. Douglas Adams, you know, wrote the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He's got a parasite species named after him. But also some politicians, famous musicians, and so on have some species named after them. But that's a small category. Most people go for, like I said, some feature related to the species itself, which is a safe, conservative way of naming a species. And many others name parasites for famous scientists or also for family members. You're not allowed to name a species after yourself. It's actually not a written rule, but everyone understands that that is not acceptable. But we found that many, many researchers get around this rule by naming new species after their children, their mother, their cousin, their pets, their best friend even. And this is something that we suggest is kind of stretching it a little bit. It's going around the rule saying you cannot name it after yourself, but it's just a small step away from when you name it for a family member, for instance.
I certainly can't imagine being a family member of someone or a friend, or I guess a family member of a scientist or a friend of a scientist or even a politician, and being named after a parasitic worm. Yeah. Your researchers found that there's a consistent gender bias with how these species are named, with only 18.6% of new species being named after women scientists. Could you touch on this a bit?
Sure. We don't have a register of all the scientists working in the field of parasite discovery and taxonomy that would give us some sort of a baseline For instance, if there were 50% of women in that group, then by chance alone, you would expect that if you're honoring a scientist from this group, half of them should be women. So we don't have the baseline data, but our estimate is that at least one-third of people active in this field are women, and yet less than 20% of species named after eminent scientists in the field are named after women. So there appears to be some sort of a gender bias there. And what is this due to? I don't know. If I had done this research 25 years ago, I would not be surprised at all, because back then the field was dominated by men. But in the last 20 years, several really prolific women taxonomists have emerged, and some of them actually dominate the field today. So why are new species still being named after men scientists? Most of them are old white men at that. So there is something going on here. It might simply be that the name of these old men are the first names that come to the mind of scientists when they're looking to name a species after someone who's made a big contribution to the field. That might be an explanation. So, you know, we're just putting this out there, that there's an inequality and a lack of recognition of the full diversity of people in the scientific community when some of them are being honored with the species name. And we're proposing that people give more thought to the choices they make when they name new species.
Would you say that the way the naming process goes at the moment, it doesn't really honor the scientific community's diversity?
Yes, I would say that. It's hard to judge on ethnicity because it's difficult to figure this out from some of the names. I know many of the scientists who have been recognized with a species name, but some others I don't know. So we cannot really assess what ethnicity they're from, but certainly just treating gender as a binary variable, which we all know it is not, but treating it in this simple way, there is a clear discrepancy between the estimated proportion of women working in the field and the proportion of women being recognized with a name of a new species. And if you look at individuals who have had their name given to multiple species, and there are some individuals who've been honored this way 15 times, they're all men. Everyone who's had at least two species named after men, after them, are mostly men. I think it's close to 85-90%. So the super honored people are mostly men. I myself have had a few species named after myself, and really one would have been enough. But it seems like once your name is associated with species, more of them will be named after you. Charles Darwin has over, I think, 200 different species named after him. Certainly 10 or 12 would have been enough, and we could have used the rest to honor other people, people of different, you know, cultures, people of different gender.
It says here that you've offered some suggestions which would hope to encourage creativity. What are some of these suggestions?
Well, just a side story on that. We initially called them recommendations, but the editor of the journal said that was too strong a word. We had to tone this down and call them suggestions instead. Well, these suggestions are very simple. First of all, you should probably avoid naming parasites after, you know, your spouse, your child, and so on, unless they have made some sort of contribution to the research itself. But often it just seems like people are trying to gain favors from a friend or a family member by naming a species after them. The other thing is we're also recommending trying to avoid naming parasites after politicians, you know, heads of states, celebrities. Because some of these people are, you know, one person's hero, but to another, they're a villain. There have been species of parasite, not, I'm sorry, actually, yes, there has been a species of parasite named after Barack Obama. But if you go to the United States, you'll see that he's not universally popular. So clearly, the name was offensive to a few people. And I know that some species of other organisms have been named after Donald Trump, again, I'm sure that this would be seen as offensive to other people to see this individual immortalized in a species name. So we recommend not naming after celebrities because or politicians, because even if they're super popular now, they may fall from grace in the future. I'm just thinking of Bill Cosby, for instance. So those are two of the recommendations we made, and the other one is about trying to recognize the diversity of the scientific community. If you choose to name a species after a scientist, just don't go for the usual suspects, these old white men who've had many species named after them. Maybe cast a broader net and look for other people who deserve recognition in this way. So those are the suggestions we've made.
That was Professor Robert Paulin from the Department of Zoology at the University of Otago, speaking about taxonomic and gender biases in the etymology of new species names.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.